Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease, and in today's episode, we are going to discuss the book Following the Call by Jerry Holt. Hello and welcome to this episode of All Things Apostolic. Last week on Wednesday, we discussed the book Acts 2:38 by Dr. David Norris. And this week we're going to talk about Following the Call, Insights for Those Entering the Ministry by Jerry Holt. Jerry Holt is apostolic. You can find this book on Pentecostal Publishing House. The back of the book says that this book is written from an individual with over 50 years of experience in ministry, sharing biblical examples, practical lessons, and personal experience that will benefit every minister and every young minister preparing for ministry. And so as I read through this book, a couple of the notes that I had jotted down that I really stuck out to me in this book, Brother Holt opens the book with giving an example of war. And his example, he makes the statement, old men for counsel, young men for war. And so in the introduction of his book, he really talks about the necessity of mentorship, the necessity of drawing on experience of those that have come before us. And that's really what this book is about, right? So the book is about Brother Holt, a gentleman who has spent a lot of time in ministry, has done a lot of different things, served in different capacities, and as well as different countries. And so here he is offering some counsel in this book to young men entering ministry. And so the first chapter is the call of God. And one of the things that he notes in the first chapter is that God often chooses the flawed, the broken, and the unlikely. And he notes that the reason why they do this, or God does this, is because God never calls those that can accomplish tasks without him. And so ministry then isn't about what we can accomplish in our flesh. Instead, ministry is what we can accomplish through the empowering of the Spirit in our lives. And to highlight some of these instances in the Bible, he draws on men like Moses and Gideon and talks about their inadequacies and how it was through God that they were able to do this. And he makes a statement at the end of the chapter that says, and he states that God is concerned with one's willingness more than one's ability. And so it's not so much our abilities that God looks for. God is looking for willing vessels that are willing to step out into the unknown, willing to be directed and guided by God. And so these are all some of the things that he talks in here. He says, first and foremost, the call to ministry is a call to obedience. And in this obedience, we must remain obedient and trust in God's timing and in especially under pressure, he notes in here. So a lot of times when you're getting into ministry, individuals try to rush things. They try to go at things faster than what they should, rather than looking at the developmental process that is taking place in their lives. They look at where they want to be. And so it is a process, and it's all about trusting God, being obedient to his call, and understanding his timing, even in times of pressure. The second chapter is entitled Take Heed to Thyself, and here he draws from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And when he talks about taking heed to yourself, he talks about a couple different areas in which ministers need to look out for and take heed. Some of those include the barrenness of busyness, the pitfall of pride, bitterness, envy, and jealousy. When talking about envy and jealousy, he notes that it is important to realize envy and jealousy are really directed at God, who has allowed others to have things that you might not have. And as I read this, I felt like that was a little bit of a reality check, if you will. When we are envious, or when we are jealous of where others are at in ministry or maybe what they're doing, it's really not directed at the person. That jealousy is really a jealousy directed at God, because it's God who exalts. It's God who places individuals in ministry. And so I think if we look at things from this perspective, and we understand that when we're jealous of particular people and where they're at, and we're envious of them, it's not really envious of that person. We are directing that towards God, because it's God who placed them where they are. And so when we look at chapter 3 in the book, chapter 3 talks about the sifting process. He uses Peter as an example in this chapter, where Jesus says to him that Satan desires to sift you. And when he talks about this, one of the key things that he highlights is that Jesus' warnings to Peter that the enemy desired to sift him did not keep him from going through the sifting process. And so he argues that the sifting process is something that every believer, every individual that is called to ministry is going to go through. Everybody is going to go through, as Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and 12. And I read this and I think that Peter's kind of looking back on his life, or looking back at the circumstance that took place. And Peter in 1 Peter 4 and 12 says that we're going to face fiery trials. And Peter isn't saying this because he heard it. Peter is saying this out of experience. He remembers the sifting process that he went through. And so Peter himself is warning individuals that this is a process that we shouldn't think of strange, because it is something that is evident in every believer's life. And here he talks about key places in which individuals may be sifted. They include areas of change in your character, motives, servanthood, and patience. And so the patience kind of ties into what he talked about in one of the preceding chapters, where he talked about trusting God and trusting God in his timing. Chapter 4 highlights what he calls wounded by friendly fire. And he relays in here about police service, how when one is shot by someone from their own side, it's called friendly fire. And he said this is a lot of times the hardest things to overcome, is when you're wounded by someone that you consider it to be friendly fire. And what this can end up leading to when you're wounded by friendly fire is what he calls a wounded spirit. And so he gives 9 different symptoms of a wounded spirit, and they are people that have a negative and critical mindset, those with a victim mentality, those that use blame tactics, those who have lost joy, those who withdraw from individual sadness, people that are easily offended, those that believe lies quickly, and those that have a lack of love. But he ends the chapter by talking about how God can heal spiritual wounds instantaneously. However, for many, the healing in these areas of their life when they're wounded by friendly fire comes incrementally over time. Chapter 5 deals with taking another look at success. And here he uses Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And when he talks about looking at success, he starts the chapter by talking about how pastors are expected to do a myriad of things. So there's a lot of things that are typically expected of a pastor. And he argues in his book that we a lot of times look at success the wrong way. We measure it the wrong way. And he says the reality is that every church is different. Not every congregation has the same talents and abilities. No two communities have the same demographics and dynamics. And so when we're talking about success, according to Holt, and the Bible, we shouldn't measure success or whether or not we're successful based on looking at where other individuals are. It's not a good measure because there's different talents, there's different abilities. The church that you pastor or the church that you go to is in a different area. It's got different socioeconomic status. It's got different demographics than other churches. And so success shouldn't be measured against others. In chapter 6, he talks about the seasons of ministry. And this was a really good chapter. I'm not going to get into it too much. I want you to get the book and read it for yourself. But he talks about the process of developing and maturing. And in that process of developing and maturing, he notices three different seasons in ministry, and that is when God develops the man, when God develops the individuals around the man, and when God develops the circumstances around the man to bring about God's will and purpose. And so first God develops the man, then he develops the individuals around that man, and then the other part of the process is developing the circumstances around the man so that God's ultimate will and purpose can be displayed. In chapter 7, he talks about the ministry's family and draws on Ephesians 5, chapter 5. And there's really good stuff in this chapter. One of the things that he accentuates in here that I know is an area where I had failed the first time that I had pastored in Cilantro, Pennsylvania, and that is coming to the realization that just because something is an emergency to someone else, that doesn't necessarily mean it's an emergency to you. And the reason why that is important is because everybody thinks a situation that they're going through or a circumstance is an emergency. And as a leader or as a pastor, if you act on every single thought as an emergency in your life or the life of others, then you're really not going to have any time in your own life. Emergencies, text messages, people going through stuff, if they need an immediate response, then you're constantly on go, and that's not a healthy thing. Chapter 8, he talks a lot about accountability, and he has some good stuff in here about it. He talks about the difference between fellowship and accountability, and he notes that fellowship doesn't probe into the key areas of our lives. And the reason fellowship doesn't do that is because fellowship isn't intended to do that, and that is why we need individuals in our lives to be accountable to. Chapter 9, he talks a lot about passing the mantle, and in chapter 10, he highlights how to finish well. Again, if you're interested in ministry, I strongly recommend Following the Call: Insights for Those Entering the Ministry, written by Jerry T. Holt. You can find this book at Pentecostal Publishing House. The link to purchase the book will be in the description below. Thank you again for joining us today on All Things Apostolic. I look forward to seeing you next week.